Okay, hello and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. We are back with the, well, I'm not going to say the finale, but we are approaching the finale of our Borneo chapter of Two-Headed Serpent. My name is Joe and tonight I'll be playing Charles Blackstone, the 62-year-old cowboy from Texas via Alaska. And things have probably gone not so well for our hero. And I'm joined by some fantastic players and a fantastic keeper. So we'll do some quick introductions, a very, very quick recap, and then we're going to find out what is going to happen. So welcome back to the show, Lisa. Who are you playing and how are you doing tonight?
Hello, I'm putting up the thing. Wait, hold on. Okay, I'm ready. Hi, I'm Lisa Lee and I am playing Camilla Havenswood. She's a sharpshooting socialite who's maybe... mayhap gone a wee bit certifiably insane and crazy madness. Maybe.
Sorry, I just threw you by doing it out of order. Let's just mess the whole thing up. And welcome back to the show, Aaron. How are you doing and who are you playing tonight?
Hey there, Joe. Hey, everyone. I am Spencer Randall and shit's starting to kick off, so I'm starting to come into my element.
There will be holes and things.
Before the night is through.
But welcome back to the show, Curran. How you doing? Who are you playing tonight?
I'm doing good. And I am playing Ethan Vandermeer, the big game hunter from South Africa. And he's got his pet Greg. And although Greg's not really had a lot to do with the happenings at the moment, I feel like perhaps Greg keeping his distance is going to be for his own good, yeah?
I don't know. He's pretty badly hurt. Maybe we should put him down and have a barb.
No.
Well, you'd have to get through Spencer. I think he's currently hauling him around.
Our listeners will find you and hurt you.
I think Spencer looks like a barbecue type man to me.
Must admit, barbecue is lovely.
Oh,
tastes like chicken.
So lean.
Before we digress too much, we need to introduce that our fantastic keeper and one of the writers of this fantastic campaign. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Thank you very much, Joe, and thank you very much for having me back on the podcast. And yes, I really look forward to seeing how this session turns out because, well, I'm not sure it could get any worse for you.
We've definitely tried hard to kind of throw a whole lot of shit into the fan.
And you've succeeded. You have succeeded beautifully.
So, Scott, do you want to just... for obviously, listener at home, hopefully it hasn't been too long since the last episode, but for us it has been a good few weeks since we last played. So, Scott, do you want to remind us all what happened in the last episode?
Yes. So, you are in North Borneo. You've been investigating this outbreak of the Yellow Death, and this has taken you all over this little bit of forest. But you did discover this odd location, this cliff face that seemed to have been demolished at some stage, exposing this weird hexagonal hole in the cliffside. And you, at some point, had followed what appeared to be Quentin Shapiro, your handler from Cadesius, who had climbed up the cliff face and entered into this hexagonal opening. When you followed him up there, you discovered that it was filled with unusual equipment, apparently of serpent person design. There was a rotating device, a portal, something, a view screen maybe, that allowed you to see into what appeared to be other worlds. One of these other worlds had a monstrous worm eating it, and when you saw that, well, unfortunate things happened to the minds of both Camilla and Ethan. Just to set the scene, you're in one of two rooms. The other room, which Quentin Shapiro had been loitering in, is filled with what to modern eyes would appear to be large view screens or large flat screen displays of some kind, as well as other equipment, control panels maybe. But you haven't really looked around that much yet. You've been a little distracted because in her madness, Camilla has decided the machine that is giving her the view of this monstrous worm must be destroyed, and she's been pumping bullets into it fairly fairly successfully. It's sparking and smouldering and beginning to catch fire. Ethan, on the other hand, has decided that his friends maybe aren't his friends. They've led him into this situation, this trap, and obviously they do not have his best interests at heart. Spencer has the very badly injured Greg strapped to his back like a monstrous backpack. And Charles decided to pick a fight with Quentin Shapiro, despite the fact that Ethan was holding a gun on him at the time, and has injured Shapiro. Shapiro has responded to this by, well, his skin has started to split open, and something black is pouring out of it.
This is only adding to my new theory. So, my theory is that Shapiro is actually a time traveler from South Korea in 2018. Explains all the view screens and maybe some of the other weird things.
is he very lonely?
Oh my gosh.
He's a Samsung representative. That's what we're saying. This is just a tech demo, and we've walked
Ethan,
in at the
stop
wrong...
your crazy talk and put that goddamn gun down.
I can't trust you. I can't trust you. Put down your weapon. Why did you do this?
Ethan, of course you can.
What is Charles more concerned about? The exploding machinery, or the machinery that's beginning to catch fire, the gun that's being pointed at him by Ethan, or the now huge monster that seems to be pouring out of Shapiro's torn corpse?
Well, Charles isn't concerned by Ethan, because he kind of trusts him, and he's seen him lose it before, and he's always been a good friend. He's kind of not really paying attention to Ethan, and he's now paying all of his attention to Shapiro, so he's backing away.
Okay, well, Ethan does have a gun prepared, so and that means he's going first, so what's he doing?
Well, Ethan, being the stone-cold killer that he is going to definitely not flinch, and... In fact, it's going to be... I'm trying to get his attention. I don't really trust him. I'm pointing a gun at him. I'm trying to get his attention.
Oh, he's ignoring you.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm definitely trying to get his attention. So it's an elephant gun.
Yeah, he's not only drawn you into this horrible situation, but now he's just turning his back on you like you don't mean anything to him.
After everything we've been through, Charles, how can you do this?
Ethan, just hang on a second. Just can't you see what this thing's going on? That's not Shapiro. That's some sort of crazy, messed up monster. And I'm going to pull my gun out and aim it towards Shapiro.
Well, let's see whether you survive that long. What's Ethan doing?
I'm pulling the trigger at his legs.
Okay, so you are shooting Charles. Mm-hmm. It's point-blank range, so you get a bonus die.
Oh, wow.
And what's Charles doing about this?
Do I need to roll a spot to see if I notice him going to actually shoot? Like, you know, as he kind of raises the barrel towards him?
It's a fucking elephant gun. You don't need to roll to see it.
Okay, so I guess Charles is going to try and dodge.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing, Ethan? We've been friends for years.
So dive out. So just to remind you, mechanically that means you lose your action for this round.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to dive for cover, yeah.
Right. So that then negates the bonus die that Ethan would have got. So this is going to be a straight firearms roll to see whether you can blow Charles's head off. Oh, sorry, his legs off, because that won't hurt at all.
No, because that way he can at least talk. And, you know, it's good for the listeners. Okay, so here we go. That's 83 against 80. So I've fumbled. But is it okay if I push the roll?
You can't. You can't push combat rolls.
Oh, damn.
Mercifully.
Okay. When
you could spend 3 points of luck if you were a complete git.
Does Charles get to dodge?
You don't need to dodge. Sorry. You need to roll your dodge roll to see whether it negates the bonus die.
No, it doesn't need to, does it?
No, it does, because otherwise you're going to get a bonus die on this.
Oh, right.
Okay, 56 versus 45, so I'm going to spend the 11 luck to make it a successful die.
It's like either spend 11 or potentially all of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Charles dives behind this spitting, smouldering pile of equipment that Camilla's busy shooting at. And the blast of Ethan's elephant gun blows a chunk out of the metal floor just where he was standing.
So I'm basically on the ground with my hands over my head, not really able to do anything this round.
Yeah. The next person to act then, I don't think Spencer had a gun ready, did he?
I always have a
I clearly forgot who I was speaking to.
He's like, I have a shoulder holster, so I can always flick out my gun in the quickest of times.
Okay, but in terms of who acts first, that means that you don't act before Camilla. So, Camilla.
Okay.
What are you doing? I mean, there has just been this almighty blast of an elephant gun next to your ear. There is a monstrous form coming out of the torn remains of Shapira's corpse. The device that you're shooting at isn't destroyed yet, and clearly it is the main threat in the room, because that monstrous worm could come out at any moment and devour all of you.
Oh, yeah. Camilla, I'm just... She hears the elephant gun blast. She's like, ah, yes, that's right. That's Cracker Jacks. Get it. Get him. That's fantastic. Keep shooting. I can see them. They can see us. If I can see them, they can see us. Let's get rid of this. Come on. And come on. Cracker Jack. And I'm just going to keep shooting at this thing.
Fantastic. Well, give me a roll.
Barely sparing a glance for the splitting... blackened, oozing body of Shapiro. That's great. Keep shooting at it. I'm just going to keep. So you want me to do a roll for?
A firearms roll, and I think I'll give you two bonus dice on this. One because it's point blank, and the other because, well, you're shooting something that's not moving. I just really want to see whether you get an impale here, because that's going to do lots of damage.
Impale. Ooh, let's go. Let's get it. Oh gosh. I'm saying that like I want the roll. If I do this, we're all gonna blow up. But hey.
Oh. Turns out the black thing seeping out of him is actually crude oil.
Swimming pools, movie stars. That's a 77.
But you get roll two bonus dice, Pierre. So it could be a lot better than that.
Okay, is that 2d10?
Yes. Yeah, roll them one at a time.
Oh, okay. Let me fix that. Thank you. That's a 4.
So, and 77, 47...
2.
27. Ooh. So 27 is your best roll out of those. Now, remember, you can always spend luck to improve that. So, what is your firearm skill?
I believe it's a 70. Yeah, 70.
So, if you spent 13 points of luck to take that result down to 14, you could turn that into an impale.
And remember that it's your character that's insane, not you.
Yes.
I'm trying to decipher what that would mean.
Camilla, what the hell are you doing? We need this goddamn thing. In fact, that's not what Charles would say at all. It's only, Camilla, you don't need to destroy it. It's like a magic lantern. It's like a cinema. You know, like Charlie Chaplin, you know, Howard Lloyd, la la la. It's just shoot that thing, that goddamn monster.
It's just a moving picture, see?
She just kind of swings around. Camilla swings around going, what? What?
I just love how all Charles's Hollywood references are about 15 years out of date.
Charles doesn't get to see the talkies very often.
I've always wanted to be in pictures. So I'm not going to push the roll. I'm not going to luck the roll.
Okay. So give me a damage roll then for that weapon.
That damage for that weapon for my rifle is 2d6 plus 4.
It's some pretty good damage. I like it.
9.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It is sparking and smoking even more now. There are flames licking out of it, but it hasn't quite gone critical yet. The view screens, or whatever they are, the hexagonal shapes that are rotating in the air, they're moving faster and faster, and they're giving you glimpses into all sorts of strange places. You can see horrible things, strange things, weird alien things just flashing past your eyes. But mercifully, perhaps, they're moving too quickly for your brain to really register what you're seeing.
So Camilla just kind of stops and looks, and she's afraid, and she's anxious, and she's still insane, and all of these images are kind of hypnotizing her a little bit, and she's just got kind of wide-eyed and one tear rolling down her cheek, and Mary is just hugging her neck, trying to scan with her, like trying to look and find purchase on all of these images that aren't quite making sense, but all look like horrible, horrible devastation. And she just has this look of terror and panting horror and helplessness, and she doesn't know what to do. And then she just looks over at Charles and the rest of the party, trying to figure out what to do next, but feeling completely desperate, and cocks her gun again.
Brilliant. And now, the creature that is bursting out of Shapiro's corpse has now largely manifested, and a couple of things here. One is, it does look perhaps a little bit familiar. Those of you, so that's everyone except for Spencer, who were in Bolivia, encountered something like this before attacking the aid camp. This huge black gelatinous creature. And the other bit of business is, those of you who are not undergoing a bout of madness at the moment, so that would be Charles and Spencer, should give me another sanity roll.
Join us,
Charles. Let's see how Lady Luck is treating you.
Okay, so I got a 44 versus my sanity. Oh no, 43.
Oh, perfect. Let's see what damage this does then.
Oh,
so you lose 5 points of sanity. So let's see how your intelligence roll works here.
Okay, I got a 60 versus my intelligence of 40.
So once again, Chelsea's stupidity saves the day.
that thing looks like that horrible beast in Bolivia, but we destroyed that. We can destroy this too.
And Spencer, let's have the sanity roll for you.
And I roll a 72. Out of my sanity, which is 55.
Okay, so you lose 9 points of sanity.
Okay.
Let's have an intelligence roll off you as well.
And I roll 54.
Okay, and your intelligence is?
50.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, it's a good job both of you are thick as mints, because otherwise you lot would be fucked.
That's fine. This isn't the first time my intelligence has saved me.
Oh, my gosh.
So yes, neither of you have realised perhaps the true horror of your situation, which is a good thing.
I recognize this guy.
and as this creature is bursting out of the remains of Shapiro's corpse, it shoots a tendril out to try to grab Ethan.
I've been in this situation before. See, last time it grabbed me, I used my super lizard strength to burst free.
You did. You absolutely did.
Right, so I'm like, alright, same situation. I'm going to try to reach out my hand to grab it and then just try to, you know, just like, I'm like, ooh, the challenge. I've been distracted.
Okay. So you're arm wrestling the giant monster?
Yes, obviously.
Okay.
Isn't that the natural reaction everyone should have?
Then give me a fighting brawl roll and make it a really good one.
Ooh.
because I just rolled a hard success for its attack.
Oh, that's not good. What am I going to have to roll here?
I very nearly rolled an extreme success, but you're not quite that unlucky.
Okay, so what is my fighting brawl is on 75, and I've rolled a 91. So
okay, So Ethan tries to grab hold of it. I'm assuming dropping his elephant gun in the process.
Of course.
But his fingers just sink inside the acidic, gelatinous flesh of this thing wraps itself around, pulls Ethan off the ground, bouncing off the ceiling, and starts pulling it towards this gaping maw that it's opening in its body.
You want some, do you? Come on, get off me!
And it is going to try to swallow Ethan. What's Ethan doing about this?
Ethan's going to use some crazy lizard strength because I'm insane right now. I'm going to be like, you think you can get me this time, do you?
So what does you using insane lizard strength look like in trying to avoid getting swallowed?
Oh my god!
So as I'm being pulled towards its gaping, whatever that mouth looking type thing with teeth in it is.
Mouth.
The moist mouth. Receptacle of food. No,
the orifice. Let's just call it an orifice.
The orifice,
because that sounds nice and harmless.
Ew. Yeah. So as it's trying to, I close my eyes and I summon my strength. I'm like, I am a lizard person. There's nothing that can stop you. You are a strong, independent lizard person. Come on, Ethan. You've got this inside of you. The strength was always there. You just need to believe. Believe, you need to see, believe, achieve. All right? Let's do this. And then I muscle up the strength.
Insane team building exercises.
So now that we've been exposed to the horrors of Ethan's internal monologue, what's he actually doing?
He's going to try to burst out his arms, because I'm guessing he's basically sunk inside this thing. He's going to try to tear himself free almost with just his hands, because he doesn't have any knife or anything, and try to drop it. He's going to fall, but, this is...
Well, give me a fighting brawl roll then.
Okay, 69 against 75.
Okay, so that's a success. It failed. So basically, yes, you've managed to spread eagle yourself over its mouth. almost like a fly on a windshield, just with your limbs, holding on desperately to each side of its maw. This tendril still wrapped around your waist trying to pull you in, but somehow you are holding on.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's right. You knew you could do it, Ethan. You knew. This was always part of our destiny. Oh, somebody shoot this thing, please. Please.
Well, it's now... it's now Spencer's turn. What exactly is Spencer doing?
Without missing a beat, I grab my gun and aim it towards the monster holding on to Ethan.
Fantastic. So what precisely are you trying to do? You're just shooting into it...
I'm going to shoot into its mouth.
Okay. Then give me a firearms roll. You can have two bonus dice on this because it's huge and it's pretty damn close to you.
That's a 48 out of my firearms roll, which is, let me just check, 60.
Okay, and you get two bonus dice, so roll a d10 twice.
Two and a six.
So 28. So you've got a hard success. Don't bother rolling damage. I mean, the bullets smack into it. They go exactly where you were shooting. You manage, luckily, to miss Ethan, shoot past him into the mouth, and the bullets just go into this gelatinous flesh and seem to be absorbed by it. The creature doesn't even seem to notice the gunshots.
So I'm just there, like, holding its mouth open, essentially, with my arms and legs, going,
yes.
Guys, if I remember correctly, I think fire was the thing that really, really got at this thing. You remember that? Like, it kind of... I think Bart, like, lit it on fire and it went crazy. Do you remember that? Or was that just my imagination?
Look at Bart. Where the hell is Bart?
But Ethan, remember, in your bout of madness, and this is all a trap they've set up for you, you now have spread yourself across the mouth of this creature. You're being held in place, and you know the only solution is to set fire to it. They obviously set all this up just as a way of setting fire to you, maybe as some kind of sacrifice.
Hmm. You might be up... I think you're onto something, Mr. Voice in the Sky. Right. I think they're out to get me.
Well, it is Ethan's action. So what is Ethan doing now?
Oh. All right, I've got to do something that they won't expect.
I'm loving this, like, Deadpool self-conversation. In the middle of this chaos, I love it.
It's like breaking the fourth wall. Totally. What do you think I should do, guys? I don't know about that, you know? So I've always had a hard life. And I think... maybe this is that moment where I can turn a corner.
You could always roll an ideas roll.
I could, but I'm thinking more that the any idea that came from you guys would probably be a good idea, and I can't really have that. So I think I'm going to have to dive into the creature. I mean, it's like swimming through goo, right? Like swimming in tar. And I'm using my super strength to try and, like, I mean, my hand sunk into it before, but I feel like if I just see it and then believe it, I can achieve it. All right, you ready?
So what you're telling me is you're jumping inside the monstrous creature's mouth where it's safe.
I'm going to basically stretch its mouth open a little bit and then dive in as quickly as possible, trying not to get chomped.
Okay, yeah, I mean, the creature doesn't have any teeth or anything with which to chomp you, so it seems very pleased with this part of the plan, and, you know, it even gives you a little helping tendril to push you all the way in, and at that point the mouth just swallows up over Ethan and he disappears inside the black goo.
Ethan!
This is such a Men in Black moment.
Rest in peace, you crazy son of a bitch.
And I think that is the perfect moment for Ethan to come out of his bout of madness.
All right, now I'm sitting here inside of a creature going, why? Why did I do that? That was so stupid. Oh, that was really, really stupid. Like, I mean, come on, Ethan. That is really, really stupid. That's stupider than Charles, and he has like an intelligence of 50.
40, actually.
Make no mistake.
40, actually.
And speaking of Charles, what is Charles doing? I mean, Charles is lying spread-eagled on the ground with all the dignity he can muster. Next to a sparking smoking machine. The good news is that Ethan is no longer trying to shoot you. The bad news is you've just seen the monster swallow Ethan.
So my question is Ethan's bag with the dynamite nearby?
Give me a luck roll.
The good thing is
this
know
is
that
good
if,
because
if you don't have it, I will have it.
that's 53 versus my luck of 70, so success.
Okay, so yes, he dropped it as he was dragged in, and his bag is lying on the ground just by your feet.
My God. Ethan! I've got you, buddy. I'm going to reach into the bag, light the dynamite.
However did Ethan end up with the delusion that his friends were trying to kill him?
I'll save you. I'm going to blow you out.
This is the kind of plan Charles comes up with when he's sane.
Gonna blow you out of that creature like that bloody gopher that was on that golf course. I'm coming for you, Ethan. Light the dynamite.
Makes up for it with insanity.
I feel that I'm gonna throw.
Yep.
Which is probably a bad idea.
You have lots of luck.
I do have lots of luck. Okay, so dynamite lit.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is it's really easy to light the dynamite because you're just next to a spreading fire. A spreading fire that is right next to the bag that contains all the rest of the dynamite.
Okay, and I got 24 versus 4. Sorry, 24 versus 20 on my throw. I'm going to spend 4 luck.
Wow.
You sure you want to blow all that luck on it? I mean, yeah, you could just fail.
No, I don't think I can spare it. So, I mean, I'm down to 66 luck.
Okay. And yeah, the dynamite, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get it on the far side of the creature from you? Or, I mean,
I'm trying to throw it over the creature so it like blows current out of the creature.
This is a flawless plan. I can see no way this can fail.
Yeah, mentally, I'm on the same wavelength as him, and I'm waiting to do the acrobatics, you know, out of it. So I can land, Jake, perfectly poised, feet together.
Yep, 3-point landing, full of goo.
Charles has 40 intelligence, and his trait is a risk taker. So.
I also have risk taker. I'm surprised we're not dead.
I feel I'm embracing the role.
So, yeah, I mean, Spencer and Camilla see this stick of dynamite arcing through the air and landing in the other room just behind the creature. I mean, there's a little bit of the fuse to burn down, but not very much. I mean, it's not going to go off this round, maybe next round.
And then I get to dive behind the machine. Get down!
What's Camilla doing? I mean, yeah. All right, yeah. There's dynamite and a huge monster, but there's still this machine. This machine is going to kill you all.
She is incensed with stopping all of the horrific images she sees rapid carding past on all of these screens, and she's trembling and shaking, and she's kind of shallowly panting, and Mary is kind of fuzzy-faced up against her cheek with his cheek, just kind of just as horrified as she is. And she just needs to cock that gun one more time, cock her rifle one more time, pump it and fire back into the machine. She sees this happening to Ethan, and this just firms her madness resolve to stop all of these horrific images from manifesting.
Fantastic. So you are going to unload another round into Satan's own kaleidoscope.
Yes. If she can, do I have to roll to load it, or is that's just part of my expertise with the gun?
No. It's a bolt action rifle. So you've still got a few rounds left in it.
I was thinking, as far as Cthulhu mythos is concerned, Satan is a bit mild, isn't it?
True.
Yes.
True. All right. That's a 35.
And you get 2 bonus dice as well.
Ooh. 1d10, that's an 8, and that's a 5.
So 35 is a normal hit, so give me a damage roll.
Okay. Plus 4, 2d6 plus 4 is 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bam!
that has done enough to upset the structural integrity of this thing. I mean, at this point, it's not just on fire, but as it's spinning around, bits are beginning to fly off, burning bits of machinery, and the little bits of otherworldliness that you were seeing through, they're sort of winking in and out, but as the portals, as these hexagons fall apart, it almost seems like they're leaking out a bit as well.
Oh dear.
Oh. She just, Camilla sees this and she just wipes her hand across her eyes because she thinks that she's just not seeing correctly. That can't possibly be true. And she says a quick goodbye to Eddie and gives a little cheek nudge to Mary, pats him on the head, wraps his tail around her neck, and has a few tears coming down her face and says, this is not the adventure I wanted. This is not tomatoes. This is not... Oh, Mary. Mary, you're a pip. And she tries one more shot.
Okay.
She gets ready for one more shot.
Yeah. The machine is tearing itself apart now. There are gouts of flame coming out. The ground of the chamber that you're in is shaking. There are cracks moving through the still and the metal of the floor. What's Spencer doing?
Hey, everybody. Not Spencer, sorry. Joe here in the mid-roll. I have a few announcements to make before we jump back into today's episode. Firstly, as you know, we are partnering up with Dungeon Fog to help spread the word of their new project. This week, we want to announce their upcoming Kickstarter campaign, which starts on July the 22nd. They estimate the development costs for all the amazing functionalities that we've been talking about for the last few weeks of the Dios suite to be around €100,000. They say they can fund around 50% of that straight away with the help of their partners. Therefore, they're asking the community to pick up halfway and carry them across the finish line. Their funding goal is set to €50,000, and with that, they are going to develop the core functionalities from scratch that include the districts tool, the roads and city walls tool, the river and bridges tool, a basic set of 100 fantasy buildings and landmarks, 5 basic biomes, landmarks and asset stamps tool, roads and rivers, basic set of 100 fantasy assets, landmarks, political borders and other layers, general features including GM notes, demographics, resources, dynamic maps, linking and pins, type-based toolbars, community and integration, co-authoring and rights management, World Anvil integration, and revamped public libraries. So an amazing amount of fantastic stuff. So if you are really interested in this collaborative project, please check out www.project-dios.com. Dios is spelled D-E-I-O-S, and I highly recommend checking it out. And obviously, we'll be pumping out their Kickstarter adverts next week on July 22nd. This month, we are also sponsored by Total Party Chill. Owen and I had the pleasure of hanging out with them in LA, and they are great folks. If you've not heard of them, Total Party Chill is a popular new live play D&D stream on Twitch, focused heavily on live viewer engagement via chat and weekly world building within their Discord community. The show is lighthearted with moments of sporadic drama and emotional endearment, with a dungeon master who comes with all sorts of creative and immersive mechanics, like making players stuff their cheeks with grapes when stung by bees, or having blinded players wear actual blindfolds while playing at the table. You can tune into that show 5 p.m. PST, which is 2 p.m. EST, for their weekly game. P.S. They want me to remind you that they're not above fan bribery and give away many prizes to live viewers, including 5th edition live D&D books, and the winners are chosen every week during their Sunday show. And they are great folks, definitely recommend checking them out. Before we go back to the show, we have our weekly Idle Champions gold chest for you. All you need to do is enter the game and enter this code, UNAIKESHBLAM. Hope you're all having a fantastic week. Now back to the show, and we will find out exactly what Spencer is up to.
I think I am going to start running for the mouth of the cave.
I knew you were going to say that.
And bear in mind that you are up a cliff face a few hundred feet above the ground.
Yeah, that's fine.
With our friends outside, our flappy friends.
Yes, there were a number of night gaunts nesting nearby outside as well.
I'm still going to be running for the mouth of the cave.
Fantastic. Okay.
Spencer has survived 4 years of Call of Cthulhu. This isn't his first rodeo.
He's like, everyone's going to blow up and they're insane and they're going to die. All right, peace out.
He's going to hang glide in a night gaunt to get away from it. This is all planned.
Taxi!
Just see everything going down and everything's about to explode and everyone's completely fucking nuts and I just want off this crazy train right now.
Okay, so...
Spencer, where are you going? That ain't half a bad idea.
As I run past Camilla, I grab her by the scuff of her neck, which takes her off her feet, and she ends up being dragged along behind me as I'm sprinting towards the door. And do I come across any of the other party members as I'm running?
No, it's just going to be Camilla at this stage.
Okay. I'll grab Camilla and shout to Charles. Charles, we gotta leave!
Not without Ethan!
What without me?
and that's the point at which the stick of dynamite goes off.
I'm just a rag doll in Spencer's hand.
Can you give me a 4d6 damage roll, please, Joe?
It would be my pleasure.
A 4d6, you say?
Oh my goodness!
So that can be as low as 4 damage.
Okay, I got a 4, a 3, a 3, and a 6. That's 16 points of damage.
Oh.
Okay.
Dear.
Yeah, the creature... the creature is largely torn asunder by this. Bits of it splatter all over the inside of the chamber. Some parts of it land in the fire where you can see it sizzling. And other parts seem to be trying to reform as they trickle down the walls or drip off the ceiling. Can I have a luck roll, please, for Ethan?
Come on, Ethan.
I believe I've rolled an 84 against. Against 50.
Okay, so that means that Ethan wasn't cushioned by the creature when the dynamite went off. So the shockwave has hit you as well, so you'll take 16 points of damage too.
16 points of damage?
Yes.
That would kill me. No, wait, wouldn't. Okay. I'm on 24, am I?
16, take away 20. 24 times 16 isn't zero.
I know, I know, but it's, for some reason, it's got like 13 is circled for some reason.
Okay.
Well, you possibly have taken some damage.
Yes, so I have possibly. Oh, that doesn't update with it. No. 24 is my maximum. 13 is what I'm on, so it would kill me. It would minus 3.
There was
3
a plane
me.
Crash, yeah, yeah. Though.
I always knew Ben Shapiro was a dick. All right. <It's>
Okay, so then I think as the others are running away, I don't know what Charles is doing at the stage, we'll find out, but the section of the ceiling above where the creature was is clearly devastated by this dynamite going off and the explosion that she had, and it just collapses in on where Ethan was a moment ago. And Charles, in all the chaos and the fire and the devastation, just loses sight of Ethan.
So the whole cave is caving in around me.
Oh, yes.
Is the machine still whirling and still, like, all these different images and stuff flashing through the disc?
It is, yeah. I mean, its movement is becoming even more eccentric, and it seems to be shaking itself to bits after the blow from the dynamite as well.
Okay, I'm gonna charge into the collapsing roof and the dust and everything and the fire and try and find Ethan. Ethan!
Ethan, where are you, boy?
I'll find you.
There is no sign of him.
Okay, so I mean, is it all kind of like collapsing around me?
Oh yes, yeah.
Ethan, where are you? Starts like digging through the rubble and the smoke and everything.
The images on the remains of the flashing screens are moving faster and faster. For a moment, you catch a glimpse of this vast black plain that seems to be covered with bones, and there's a lone figure just there in the gloom, moving through. And just for a moment, you're absolutely certain it's Bart, and then it's gone. So Spencer and Camilla have run down this little corridor, which is now filling up with smoke and fire, and you've got this cliff outside. Like I say, it's a few hundred feet down to the ground. It's now pitch dark outside. I mean, you can see a little bit because of the moonlight. but it's pretty gloomy. You know, you can't see the ground below you. What do you do?
I think as I run towards the mouth of the cave and the edge of the cliff, I crouch down into a slide, and I slide grabbing some vines at the lip of the cliff.
Oh, I know. This is a newly created cliff. There isn't any plant growth on here. And this was the inside of the mountain until a few days ago.
I think this was covered in vines.
No, no. You climbed up through handholds in the rock.
Okay.
Not so clever now with you running away, are you?
Shut up, dead man.
It's lonely being
dead. Is
there
any sort of lip or ledge or anything around the mouth of the cave?
There are little bits. I mean, you could climb down, but it would be a slow, deliberate process. And you know, this whole cliff face is now shaking because of the explosions going on inside the chamber.
Did we kill it? Did I get it? Is it all?
Oh.
Did I stop it?
I think you definitely stopped it.
Okay.
I mean, now, with the fire that's behind you, it's creating a bit of light. What you can see is, and there was light spilling out of the cave mouth anyway because of the lighting in the chamber. You can see that a number of the Nightgaunts have taken an interest in whatever is going on there. I mean, some of them are flapping away at a distance, but a couple of them have come fairly close to the cave mouth just to see what the hell is happening to their new home.
How far away are they?
One is about 10 feet away and the other a little further than that, not much.
Hello, pretty bird.
Right. Eyes up, Camilla. And okay. I just start taking aim at the closest one.
Okay, so you're going to try to shoot it down?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then give me a firearms roll.
68.
Ooh.
Out of... what was it again? I can't remember. 60, so I guess I'll spend 8 luck.
Okay.
And that's 11 damage.
Okay, let's see how the Nightgaunt copes with that. Right, the bullet smacks into it, and it doesn't drop out of the sky. It... I mean, you can't really read its reaction because, well, it doesn't have a face. But from its body language, it seems to be pretty surprised by this, and all of a sudden just flaps backwards and disappears. The other one, however, is swooping in towards the two of you.
Camilla is going to kind of swing her knee forward because she's being dragged, so... classic, what's it, the Conan poster, the girl kind of on his leg. So she's going to use Spencer's leg, like she's like sitting like a cross, right, like cross. So using his leg as a support, she's going to be sit there and train her rifle on that one that's coming and say, hello, come on, pretty bird, come on, and take a shot.
Okay. It's close enough that you'd ordinarily get a bonus die, but on the other hand, it's also pretty dark.
That's a 68 out of 70.
Okay. So give me a damage roll.
All right. Plus 4 is 13.
Nice. Okay, yeah, I mean, with that, you know, your bullet hits something vital in it, and you know, its wings flap spasmodically for a moment, and then it just drops out of the sky like a stone.
I want to appreciate that word for a moment, spasmodically.
This is more fun, Spencer, than Coney Island.
Isn't it?
What's next?
And yeah, I mean the cave is shaking.
She says with like tears just streaming
you.
Down her face.
Okay, the cave is shaking itself apart behind you. You can see cracks in the wall all around. But we'll get back to you in just a moment. Charles is there looking for Ethan. There's no sign of him. The chamber is falling apart. There's stone crashing down all around you. Things are blowing up. Everything's on fire. The air is filling with toxic smoke. The creature in the midst of all this is trying to reform itself. What are you doing?
I still kind of want to carry on searching for Ethan.
Pick up my gun and remember me. Me.
Me.
Okay. The other part of me wants to try and jump through the portal.
Do it.
Oh my god. Do it.
Like, does it look like I can escape, or have I left this too late now?
You could try.
Okay, I think Charles is going to have one more round of looking for Ethan, then he's going to try and escape.
Okay, you look around, but I mean, if Ethan is here, he's buried under so much rubble that there's just no trace of him.
Ethan, so Charles is like scrabbling away at the rubble and like throwing all the rocks behind him and trying to like throw the goo as well as he kind of touches it.
this is quite a sad scene in my mind.
Well, it's and as you try pushing the goo aside, some of it reassembles and wraps itself around your hand.
Ethan! And I'm like, yeah, desperately searching with the kind of the chaos around.
Okay, but yeah, like I say, there's no sign of him. The bunch of goo that you stuck your hand in has now reformed enough that it's beginning to crawl up your arm.
Gonna like thrust my hand into the fire next to me with the goo in it.
Oh yeah.
But not even looking at it, it's still like scrabbling away at the rubble and trying to like move the big rocks. Like, I mean, Charles is like, he's a wiry old chap. Like he's got like strength of 80, so he's like heaving rocks aside and flinging things out of the way. He's like desperately trying to find Ethan.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, there is just so much rubble here. Like, maybe if you had hours to do this, you could find him. But the way this place is falling apart, I mean, you've probably got seconds before you're buried with him.
So, like, as the rocks and the fire is collapsing around me and, like, this creature sort of lunges forward, or the rest of the reformed creature lunges forward, Charles is just going to, like, try and scamper to his feet and half fall and then start running down the corridor.
Right. Okay. Then, the corridor is collapsing around you. There's huge chunks of masonry and metal falling down. I do want a dodge roll just to see whether you can avoid getting pinned by this and make it to the exit.
Okay. Let's see.
Oh my gosh! Amazing.
Okay. So dodge roll versus 45. I roll a 51. So I think I can afford the luck to make that a success.
Okay, so you can hear the sounds of gunfire just up ahead of you, and you know as you get to the entrance, you can just see Camilla there kneeling down on the ground, leaning up against Spencer's knee, and this monstrous winged shape plummeting out of the air in front of them.
Ethan's gone. Say it, Spencer, Camilla, we've got to get out of here. The whole thing's collapsing, and that monster's reforming. That machine, it's going to blow. Who would set up a cinema in a place like this? I just don't know, but we've got to get out of here.
And I start motioning to everyone to try and make best to climb down the cliff as quickly as they can.
Okay. I didn't ask for climb rolls on the way up because you weren't under too much time pressure. But now you're trying to get down there quickly, the mountainside is shaking and it's dark. I think climb rolls are perfectly appropriate here.
Oh no! Oh no!
Yes, so let's start with Charles.
OK.
Okay, versus a climb of 50, Charles gets a 7.
Oh, okay, yes.
Wow.
Well, yeah, Charles is a spry old thing and clambers down the mountain nicely. How about Camilla?
I have 20 in climbing, and I just rolled a 61, but I have a lot of luck to spend.
She falls down and lands on Greg.
Camilla actually would have waited if she she would still be wanting to pick these things out of the sky, because it's now become kind of a point of glee for her, a kind of maddened glee to be like she's in a shooting gallery. So she would have let them climb before her, before she started to climb down.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you could possibly stay up there for another round or two, but that corridor is collapsing fast behind you. And, you know, unless you climb down soon, you know, the shockwave of falling and exploding items is just going to blast you out of the cage.
20%. So I will spend... I have 97 luck to spend. So,
you're going to spend 41 points of luck on getting down quickly and safely.
Yes.
That is luck well spent.
Like a tipsy person in a car accident, she's just going to be like giggling to herself with like giggle tears, and then pot shots at these night gaunts as she climbs and giggles and shoots, just completely like loosey goosey.
Right. You do get down comparatively safely. Let's just see how things go for Spencer.
I roll a 66, and the climb I need is 20.
So, is this worth 46 points of luck to you, or would you like to try your luck and push it? The odds are not really with you if you try pushing it, but it might be funny.
Well,
hey,
for you maybe.
I only need 46. Well, I've only got 43 luck, so I think that's going to be out of the question anyway. I'm going to have to just try and re-grasp myself as I clamber down.
So basically the situation is, I mean, the other two have managed to get down, but you've taken a slightly different route. I mean, you've made it about halfway down, and you know, with the mountainside shaking around you, this large fissure has just opened up beneath you, and the path you've got to take to clamber down isn't really available to you anymore. So what does pushing your roll involve?
So... pushing the roll is going to be me trying to grasp onto something for purchase.
Okay, so you're just
trying to regain my balance.
So you're grabbing around desperately in the dark, trying to get around this fissure any way you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's have that climb roll again.
And another 66.
Okay, so Spencer clambers down a bit more, and then the fissure spreads, it branches up, and the bit of rock you were holding to above shears off, and all of a sudden, you and the rock go falling down the cliff. And let's leave it there for this session.
That's amazing. Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for playing, and thank you, everyone at home, for listening. Commiserations, Curran. It's been fun playing with you. My name is Joe, and if you want to find more of my work, you can follow me on Twitter at HWRPodcast, and you can obviously find me on the Discord. Curran, where can people catch up with your stuff? Where can people find
catch up with my stuff? You can find me on Instagram, Curran_lines, or on Twitter, Curran_lines again, or on the How We Roll Discord. If you'd like to pay your respects to Ethan, you can simply go on the Discord and say at Curran the Dreamer and say, I am so sorry for your loss. And I can't right now. very hard time.
Press
F to pay respects.
And Lisa, yeah. before we all burst into tears, and where can people find you? Is there anything you want to share?
F for respects. You can find me at Lisa Bell on Twitter, LISABELLE. You can find me in the How We Roll Discord, so come on in and hang out. And like that.
Awesome. And again, commiserations, Aaron. It's been a good 4 years with Spencer, but you know, all good things come to an end. Is this?
Oh no!
How can people get hold of you? And is there anything you want to share?
Yes, you can get hold of me on Discord by typing my name at Aaron into the How We Roll Discord, and I will eventually respond when I see it. And you can also find me on Twitter at GruntyBabyUK.
Amazing. And last but by no means least, our valiant keeper and slayer of characters, Scott, how can people get in touch with you? Is there anything you want to share?
Yes. Well, I do loiter around the How We Roll Discord sometimes. I can, in theory, be found on Twitter, but I never bloody remember to look at it, so don't count on that. The best way of getting in touch with me or following what I'm doing, if you're interested in such things, is to go to blasphemoustomes.com, which is the website I share with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, with whom I also do the podcast The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, where we talk about Call of Cthulhu, horror films, weird fiction, and all the other weird stuff that interests us.
Amazing. And again, thank you everyone at home for listening, and we'll be back next week with a substantially smaller cast by the sounds of it. Thank you all for listening again, and we will be back next week with Curse of Strahd, and in 2 weeks with the next Two-Headed Serpent. If you cannot wait and you want to hear next week's episode right now and you want to help support the show, then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/howweroll podcast. This week I want to say a special thank you to Ross, Al F and RPGR for becoming our latest Patreons and for your incredibly generous donations. Thank you so much. If you can't spare any money to help support the show, then you can still help out by writing us a review or sharing us with a friend. You really help us grow and get out there. And actually, iTunes reviews do make a huge difference to podcasts because it really helps us rise in those rankings and make us more visible for people that haven't heard of us. So if you can do that, that would really help us out. Before we go, we also want to say a big thank you to battlebards.com for help sharing their music. You should definitely check them out. That is all from me. Hope you have a fantastic week, and I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'll see you next time.